And I said, 9 o'clock, I'm there at 9 o'clock. If you tell me to be there at 8 o'clock, I'll be there at 8 o'clock. There's two times in my life that I was running behind that I can recall. And one time I missed an appointment. Now I'm a young 40 years old, right? 50 years old. Oh man, do I even say it? 60 years old. Let's just pray, right? It reminded me, this song just kind of reminded me of a scripture. And it's not one that we hear a lot, but it's about the story of Habakkuk, the prophet, right? The man that got so mad at God because God wasn't what he thought on time to fix the problem of the Israelites. They were really acting up, and he was really distressed, that he was like, where are you? And God finally responds, and we've talked about this before. And he says, I'm going to send this kingdom called the Babylonians, and I'm going to take care of the situation. And he says, why would you send wicked people to take care of sin? And there's this little scripture in Habakkuk 2:3 that says it like this, and it just is so perfect for that song. It says, he says, okay, I will await the revelation from heaven for the appointed time. Two things. There's a revelation coming, and I believe it's coming from heaven, and I know God's behind it. I don't see it. I don't understand it. He's telling me what it looks like. I don't get it. Doesn't matter. I know there's a revelation coming, and it's from heaven. But then he adds this piece, church. He adds the piece that says, at the appointed time. That means God had ordained a time for the revelation to show up, and that time hadn't arrived yet. The blessing wasn't here yet. The exact time frame wasn't even arrived yet. And so he had to make a decision. Do I force the issue or do I wait for the appointed time, the ordained time, the revelation coming from heaven was going to be slotted right here in this time frame, which would make it the perfect time, the right on time frame that God had already ordained it to happen. Church, I'm going to tell you something. He's never changed his mind on how he does things. You've got an appointed time of revelation. You have an appointed time of deliverance. You have an appointed time of financial freedom or whatever it may be. If you just wait for the revelation to show up at the appointed time. Boy, tell me that's not hard, right? Tell me this human mind and our humanity doesn't want to force the issue because we don't think God's on time. But for some reason, it always works out when we do what we're supposed to do, pray, wait for God to respond because that time. And then you look back and say, wow, if it would have happened earlier, it would have been this. If it would have happened later, it would have been this. I would have been in big trouble, but it didn't happen at the appointed time. Go to scripture. It says appointed time, God ordained time, selected time. Your selected time to be here at Cross Point Church on this day, appointed time. Your appointed selected time to watch us online today, God ordained time. No, Pastor, I just got up and came to church. No, God drew you into the house. God brought you into the house. God ordained you to be here. God selected your life to be here. There's a purpose for you today. God has given me a message for you today for this appointed time. So let's just go to heaven right now, church, and pray over that message. Lord God, we thank you that you're not a God that's late. Lord God, you're certainly not early. You're just arriving at your appointed time. Lord God, thank you for that. Lord God, thank you for bringing us in here to this appointed time at Cross Point Church, Father. There are people today, Lord God, as you know, that need to hear what I'm going to speak today from heaven today. Lord God, this is their appointed time today. For the revelation from heaven to show up in their lives on this day. God, we thank you. Lord, I pray that they receive that today. Lord God, I pray that they have come into the house ready to receive what you have for this appointed time. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Church, give him a praise today for this appointed time. Look at somebody as you're seated and say, this is my appointed time. Hallelujah.
Well, good morning, church. Welcome in the house of the Lord. My name is Pastor Mike, and I have the privilege of serving here as one of the associate pastors, and I just want to bring a couple things to your attention this morning. If this is your first time, I want to welcome you. There's a great way that we try to connect, and if you look in the pew just in front of you, you'll see a little blue sticker. That's a QR code that you can scan. You'll see that QR code as well if you're joining us online, and welcome to those that are joining us online. We want to connect with you. If this is your first time, we would say prayerfully consider to make Crosspoint your church home. Amen? This is a great way to connect with us. Real quick, I want to remind you of some ways that we offer to give. If you're here in the house or if you're joining us online and you say, oh, I want to give to Crosspoint Church, I want to give to the ministry, there's a few quick and easy ways. If you grabbed a bulletin, if you're in the house, there's a little QR code that you can scan that will open up a digital way that you can donate and give of tithe or your offering. You can go to our Church Center app. If you don't have that app, may I please encourage you, get on that app. It's a great resource and great tool. You can give online. You can go to our website, actually. It's cpoint.church. And so if you go online, you can just click on Give Online. It's really easy. And then really, if you're here in the house, if you enjoy the traditional way, we have our giving stations located right in the back as you enter into the worship center this morning. And so again, just a couple quick reminders of ways to give. Now, we do have a lot going on. As Pastor said, this is like kind of our first Sunday for our summer. There's a ton of stuff happening. In fact, if you're here today in the house and you have signed up and you are planning to help and volunteer for Zoomerang, which is coming up in a few weeks, that's our Vacation Bible School Day Camp, we're calling it. That meeting is happening directly after service in the fellowship hall. So if you would just make your way, it's a luncheon that we have prepared for you. So again, please, if you're here today that you're volunteered, make your way directly after service into the fellowship hall. And that's really kind of opens up our summer, because tomorrow we actually have a ton of kids that will be joining us in the building, because Malone, they've partnered with us for the Pioneer Summer Day Camp. And if you don't know what that is, you know, I spoke a little bit about that last week. There's flyers in the back. If you want to grab a flyer, it's the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Canton and Stark County. And we are excited for that. So tomorrow actually starts for almost the entire summer that we will have young children in our building hearing and be a participating and hearing about the word of the Lord. We also have coming up on Wednesday, we still are doing our journey night. It's just like our summer session, right? It's a little bit lighter fare. So 7 o'clock starts all of our programs for childcare, and we do have that one small group meeting. So if you are encouraged, if you feel led, come and join us at 7 on Wednesday night for our journey night. June 8th, which is next Sunday, it's graduation Sunday, and we want to honor and to celebrate whoever we have in our congregation here that has graduated in any shape or form, right? So whether it's high school, whether it's college, whether it's grad school, whatever it is, trade school, we want to celebrate you. But we must ask, though, today is the final day to sign up for that and to make sure that you get all the information in. Today is it. We want to have that. So if you have any questions, please see the Resource Center, VIP Center. And the last thing is that we have a garage sale coming up, actually, this Friday and Saturday, happening at Crosspoint for our youth that want to raise money for camp. And so if you have something that you just have an itching that you want to come and see and you want to buy all the goods and all the items that they've been diligently working on the last several weeks, I would encourage you. That's going to be happening both Friday and Saturday. It's 9 until 4 right here at Crosspoint Church. And all of those proceeds go right back into our youth group ability to go to summer camp. So we're excited for that. Church, God bless you. If I missed anything, check out our bulletin, check our online campus, check our Facebook, all of those things that I'm sure Pastor Brad will remind us of as well. But God bless. I'm excited to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen. Hey, let Pastor Mike know how much you appreciate him today. That's the fastest announcements I've ever heard. All my trusty assistants have taken care of the pastor. Thank you, Charles. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Boy, I feel like I have not been here for like 3 weeks, right? I feel like I've been out, and thank you so much, Pastor Mike, for preaching for the last, couple weeks? And 3 weeks ago, we had a huge service. It was Mother's Day, and thank you, Pastor Nicole, for preaching Mother's Day service here. I have not been in the pulpit for 3 weeks, and today is June 1st, which means, like I mentioned at the beginning, welcome to summertime. Yeah. Oh, wow. Wait. So it's June 1st. Welcome to summertime. I don't want to be the, you know, I know the weather's been awesome, right? It's just, oh my gosh, that rain and the 30s have been just so awesome. You feel like it's like in the middle of winter, but I got news for you, church. This week, it's going to be 88 and sunny, right? Now, come on, you got to get praise for that, right? Right. Welcome to summertime. If you're joining us online, thank you so much. Now, I know there are people that took off on vacation already. Shame on you. I know some people head down south and do that thing. Awesome. I know some people head out west, they go abroad. Some people do things that they should never do and go up to New England and freeze in the summertime, right? But regardless, if you're watching online today, thank you so much. We appreciate that so much. Lots going on this week. Come out for the youth garage/rummage sale. I saw some of those items. You'll probably want to come out better than what you expect at a normal sale like that, so you'll want to come out, right? We are starting a new series today. Is anybody excited about that? A new series, yep, there you go. I'm in the right house. I'm in the right church. It's called Summer Recharge, right? And we're going to talk about some things. I've got so much to say. When a preacher has been out of the pulpit for 3 solid weeks, you might as well just settle in and just say to yourself right now, this is going to be the longest church service I have ever been in my entire life, right? Thank you, Charles. Charles says amen to that. Everyone's saying, Pastor, it's summertime. We can't be the longest service ever, right? Summer Recharge. That's exactly what summer kind of feels like, right? We're going to start a 4-week series called Summer Recharge. And right away you say, summer. Summertime, right? Summer. What's summer? It's the beach. It's the volleyball. It's the thing on, it's whatever. It's vacation. It's staycation. How many like the staycations, right? Yeah, I had a staycation last week. I watched you online. 3 of you I had to call into my office this week, right? Yeah, right? We watched. It was just nice, right? Take a little staycation. My wife loves staycations, right? Summer, it's all about rest and relaxation, right? It's all about taking a break. But, you know, I'm going to tell you, this rest and relaxation, it's elusive sometimes. It's elusive. Like, it's hard to find. Like, it's not there like when we always want it to be there. And we talk about rest and relaxation. We talk about the physical, and really we should be talking about the spiritual, right? Right? We want a physical rest and relaxation, and then you wonder about the spiritual rest and relaxation. We're going to talk about that today. See, we can do all those vacations in the summer and getaways and still be exhausted. We could go, and, you know, doesn't it feel like sometimes when you come home from vacation, you're more exhausted than when you left? Right? Whether you're driving or flying or doing whatever you're doing, and you're just kind of like, we like to staycation sometimes because we don't have to worry about that. But you kind of feel like you're exhausted. Why is that? Because rest isn't just about stopping your body. It's about calming your soul. The spiritual side, right? And then you get to this word called recharge. You know, when I was growing up, it was all about the physical recharge. Like my mom would say, I need to get recharged. It was all about the physical recharge in her life, right? Working hard when I was really, really young before she got really sick, and she'd work really hard, and she just needs this physical recharge. Today, it doesn't mean that at all. What it means is plug your phone in. Doesn't it? I got to recharge my phone. I can't believe I got to recharge. They sell batteries to slap on the back of your phone so you can keep it recharged. Wouldn't you like to have that for your spiritual walk, right? Smack that thing on your back. You're ready to go spiritually. That's my wife. She smacks me on the back, and I'm ready to go spiritually, right? I'm there, right? Seriously. It's recharging us, right? Recharging isn't about doing nothing, church. It's about doing what reconnects you to the source. So there's this natural definition of recharge. Let me read it to you. To restore power by connecting to a source. That's what it is, right? Restore power. It talks about refilling, which means going back to previous levels. It talks about replenishing. That's back to the original settings, or restoring back to the original settings, just like new. Man, I wish I could get reset just like new, right? I know I'd have hair. I would. My wife says, you don't need it. I love you just the way you are. I said, that's because God makes you do that, right? You're required to love me the way I am, right? But I had long flowing hair when I was younger, and it was really cool. And this reset would just put me right back there, right? Put me right back. There's a spiritual definition. It goes like this. To restore power by connecting to the source. The source. It talks about rest, which is calming. It talks about renewing, which is about refreshing change in your life. It talks about then reigniting us. That's a launch again. That's a new season. That's a new assignment. That's a new opportunity for you and I. That's the recharge, which is what this series is all about. The series invites people to intentionally recharge, not just physically, but spiritually, by plugging back into the source of life. Real recharging doesn't come from escape, entertainment, summertime, beaches, or even physical rest. It comes from connecting with God. And sometimes, church, we get disconnected from heaven. Right? So Jesus is having this powwow. Can I say powwow in church? Right? Powwow with his best friends, his disciples, right? And he's getting ready to leave planet Earth. And he knows, and he's starting to put them together. And he's doing what we call, he's preparing them for when he's not going to be here. He's starting to lay some groundwork and saying, listen, I'm not going to be around. And they didn't really understand all that. But he's really starting to lay some preparation, some groundwork. So we go to John 15:4. And he says this. He says, listen, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. You can see him hanging around with his disciples talking about this, right? Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Jesus' farewell. He's really laying some groundwork. And he's talking about what I call necessary dependency. I'm not going to be around like you see me any longer, but you've got to remain in me. And remain means menyo, right? And it means to abide in, to live in, to reside in, stay connected with. Nowhere in there does it talk about taking a break from. He makes this word. He says, remain in me, menyo, remain, M-E-N-O, menyo, remain in me. If you don't get all this today, church, listen, if you're following us on the Church Center app like Pastor Mike talked about, you can go right to the sermon notes on the app, and you can follow along today or in the future and throughout this week. If you want to go back, we do a weekly, every day, really, for a few days each week, we do a devotion right off of what I preach or Pastor Mike preaches or whomever, right? We'll do a devotion. You can go day by day and kind of get more of the information because you're not going to get it all today. So I'm just giving you a quick little commercial. So we have this word rest, and we love the rest. I love just to chill, right? But then Jesus comes along and he says, no, I want you to remain in me. I'm going to be gone, really, but you don't know that, but I want you to remain in me. So we got rest and remain, and we were wondering, that's draining. I need a rest. But then Jesus says, no, you got to remain in me, abide in me, stay with me, stay connected with me. Sounds kind of draining. I got to do more work, right? Man, pastor's going to make me do more work over the summer when I need to disconnect and take a break. Wow, you come to the right place today, church. Rest is not found in your escape or your inactivity, but remaining in a daily and weekly rhythm. That connects us to the source, and that source is Jesus. So today, we're going to talk about how to build patterns in our lives that restore our strength, realign our spirit, and refocus our heart. Those patterns are called rhythms of recharge. And that is the title of today's message, Rhythms of Recharge. Can we jump in and do some background? Right? I'm going to give you this really inspirational thought. Humans are not self-sustaining. I know what you're thinking. Pastor doesn't know me. You know, I make this comment a lot. I say, I run at 100 mile an hour. I say that as a, you know, but the fact of the matter is we can't run at 100 mile an hour all the time, right? We are not self-sustaining. We can't do it by ourselves. And when you talk about physically and get physically exhausted, church, we'll recognize that, won't we? Like, oh man, I'm just so exhausted. And we get that, right? Summertime, beach, you know, right? Whatever. We like the beach, right? So I say beach, but whatever. Whatever you recharge on. You get physically exhausted, right? But then you get to this thing about spiritually exhausted, and we have no idea what that means. Right? Do we really understand what being spiritually exhausted means? You got to stop to think, like, what does that really even mean? Do you get spiritually exhausted? I know physically exhausted. I know mental exhaustion. I know emotional exhaustion. I don't know if I really recognize this. Well, God understands it. God gets it. Let's jump over to Psalm 103, 14. It goes like this. For he, God, knows how we are formed. He remembers that Pastor Brad is just dust. Thank you very much. Everybody here and everybody online watching this message today is a direct descendant of dust. Now, doesn't that make you feel wonderful? Right? We demand performance and results and success, and we want all these things for our lives, our spouse, our families, or especially our children or what have you. And God doesn't look at that like that. He knows that we were formed out of the dust of the ground. Amen. Someone loves the dust, right? So we're formed out of the dust. And that's not a put down, church. That is God saying to us, I created you with a limit. Is what it means. I created you with a limit. I did not create you, he says, limitless. That's right? Dear, how you pronounce that word? Limitless. Come up here and tell me how to pronounce that word. Right? I don't know, right? But you know what I'm talking about, right? He didn't make us unlimited. How you like that? See? That's called the pastor workaround, right? He didn't make us like that. We have limits. And he has a scripture just to remind us that he knows that. He knows our weaknesses, even though sometimes we don't recognize it. He does. The phrase is, he remembers we are dust. It's a look back to Genesis 2:7, where he says, I formed you from the dust of the ground. That's what the Bible says, right? Not an insult. He made us with some limitations, and those limitations need to be recharged. Now, how in the world do we as human beings do that? He recognizes that we need some recharge going on, renewing, and sometimes we don't understand that, right? So here's the definition. God remembers what we tend to forget. We can handle only so much. We can only take so much, right? This forgetfulness leads to us having some pride, self-confidence, independence. But there's some breakdown in us because we're saying, I could do it myself. Now, one of our kids, when we were growing up, he got to be about 5 years old. And yeah, that's right. You know, see, she remembers. We're so funny. He's five, right? He gets to what we call the independent stage. You're not supposed to get to the independent stage when you're 5 years old, but he gets there and he had this saying, I could do it myself. Mom, Dad, I could do it myself. He got so good at doing it, he would look at us and give us the thumbs up and smile and say, I can do it myself. Which means, I don't need your help. I can do it myself. Right there, right? I'm not going to say which kid that was, right? Because I'll get in trouble. But that was a thing in our home for a long time. I can do it myself. What about this story? One of my favorite movies. Remember the movie Rudy? The football player? Yeah, Rudy, right? Rudy Rudiger, right? The undersized, underperforming, not very talented, not very athletic guy that went off to Notre Dame and said, I'm going to play football for the Fighting Irish. He was 5'8", 165 pounds of nothing. But he says, I'm going to walk on and I'm going to play Division I football. It's a movie, right? Great movie. And what did they do to him in the movie? He got on the practice squad eventually. And the whole thing for the practice squad is get the first and second team prepared to play on Saturday. College football plays on Saturday mostly. And the practice squad would give they'd be the other team, right? And the whole purpose of them was to get beat on. To prepare the first and second teamers to go out on a Saturday and win. So Rudy makes the practice squad, and that's the movie. And basically how he gets beat on day in and day out. And one time in the movie, it looked like he was going to break down. He was getting so beat up. If you saw the movie, you know he's got bruises and cuts and stuff all over his face. And because these big guys, these 300-pound guys or 250-pound guys just running into him, and he's 165 pounds, 5'8". And so he's getting beat. And he's getting beat. And the one time in the movie, they're saying, why don't you get out of there? And he comes back with this phrase, no, coach, I can do it. I can do it, coach. Remember that? No, I can do it, coach. I can do it, coach. What's he saying? I can handle the beating. That's exactly what that scene is all about. I can handle the beating. That's exactly how we are sometimes in our spiritual walk. I don't need to recharge. I don't need to take a break. I don't need to do it. I can handle the beating is what we're doing. I can do it. That's a lot of pride, church, for a God that created us to have limited capacity, saying, I can handle it. And that's how some of us live out our spiritual walk. We say, I can do it, God. I can handle it. We grit our teeth and say, we can handle it. You know, we burn out, though, because we're trying to run on yesterday's spiritual fuel. We try to run every single day on yesterday's spiritual, and we say, I can do it. I can get through another day. I can do it. And we're getting beat down when God didn't create us like that. He created us with limits. And those limits needed some recharging, right? So here's the definition of spiritual rest. Get ready. It's on the screen behind me or on the device in front of you. It says, spiritual rest is the result of laying down the burden of your performance. Your fear, your guilt, your self-effort, finding peace in God's presence, promises, and pace. Now, wait. We've talked about God's presence before. We've talked about God's promises before. But lo and behold, on June 1st, it's summertime, and Pastor throws a new word. It's called pace. Pace. What's that all about? Wow, hold on, because you're going to find out, because heaven's speaking today through your pastor. Now, spiritual rest comes three ways. We're going to talk about those three ways, because the third way is going to get you. Spiritual rest shows up by, first, relational rest. Rest found in Christ. He gives you rest. Just the connection to the source gives you rest. Jesus said, remain, meno, remain in me, abide in me, live in me, stay with me, hang with me, stay with me, right? It's a necessary dependency to continue being restful. Stay with me. That's called relational rest. Matthew 11, 28, 29 says, come to me. As he speaks, Jesus, all you who are weary and burdened, maybe there's nobody weary and burdened in the house today. Maybe we were just so on top of our game, we don't have any weariness or burdenness, right? He says, I'll give you rest. You will find rest for your souls. That means Jesus will give you the peace that you need today. Relationally, the connection. The plug-in, the stay here, the remain in me. Your dependency on me doesn't take a break because you head to the beach, right? You don't like, I hope, you don't say, I'm not a Christian for the next 2.5 weeks, right? You remain in him. You abide, live, reside. I'm still connected to the source. Romans 5:8 goes like this. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified, just like you never sinned. Saved, believer, right? We strive to be good. We strive to do all those great things, to find identity in other things. We do whatever we can to find who we are when God tells you, you are who you are in me, right? Connect with me. Have a relationship with me, right? Once you have that connection to the source, the striving to figure out who you are ends. It's over. You don't need to find out. You are who God divinely gets you purposed to be. And everyone in the house today and everybody watching online knows exactly what I'm talking about. Once you accepted Christ as Savior, things supernaturally changed, right? God did the great reveal in your life. And he continues to reveal himself in your life as you go through your spiritual walk. Right? Isaiah 30:15, get ready for what this says. Isaiah really laid the groundwork. He says, in repentance and rest, that's your salvation. Wait, I thought I just had to repent. No, you got to rest as well. There's some resting there because the resting is the peace, right? It's the quietness and trust that gives you strength. It's the quietness in your life and the strength that you get, quietness and trust, that gives you the strength. What? I thought I had to go at 100 miles an hour. No, it's just the quietness and this trust. Boy, you're going to see some things here in a couple minutes, church. See, you can't have spiritual rest until you have relational rest with your Creator. You're not going to get to the spiritual rest. You've got through the physical exhaustion, but you're now dealing with some spiritual things, and you're not going to get there unless you have that plug into the source, right? We tell our kids, make sure you charge your phones when you're out of town. And they look at us like we got two heads. Why? Because today's the younger generation, that's like a thing, right? They wouldn't think about going to bed or making sure their phones are charged, right? Youth, right? Now, I got some people in my family, I'm not going to say who, mother-in-law, but the phone always, right? I'm not going to say it, right? I will not say names, right? Or dad or whomever, you know, the phone, I'm not going to pick on anybody, but my father-in-law, his phone's always on charge. Where's your phone? On charge. Right, Derek? Yeah, that's true. That's her dad, right? You know, I love him, but it's the truth is, you know, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I got my phone, it's at home, charging. But guess what? It's always on charge. It's always ready to go. Do you ever use it? Not really, but it's always ready to go. It's recharging, right? He knows I'm teasing him. You don't have spiritual rest until you have relational rest with your Creator. Church, Jesus did not say, do more. Jesus said, come to me. He didn't say, go out and do more. No, Pastor, I can't listen to you today because you need to do more before I give you rest. You got to do a little bit more this week, right? He didn't say that. Some of us are just exhausted, not because we've been working too hard, but because we've been trying to manage people, please people, fix people, do things that only God can do. Relational rest says, I'm not the fixer. I'm not the fixer. When we rest in that, the pressure comes off and the peace flows in. Relational rest says it like this. You're no longer striving for God's love. You just receive it. You're no longer performing for people's approval. You're walking in God's favor. You're going to need to grab these notes, church. No longer carrying the weight of every relationship. You just trust God's grace. Right? That's relational rest. Spiritual rest comes in a second form, restoration or restorative rest. Restorative rest. That brings peace to your anxiety, and it brings clarity to your chaos. Now, I know no one's anxious here, and I know no one's in chaos, right? You just need to spend a day with your pastor, right? It's a chaotic thing all the time, right there, right? Yep. What's that? It's resetting rest is what I call it. Restoration. Restorative rest is like a reset. Boy, we need a reset, right? You reset your phone, sometimes you need to reset you, right? Brings peace to anxiety. What's anxiety? Hold on. You know what anxiety is. If you don't know what anxiety is, you've never been anxious, right? That inner restlessness, the fear, the uncertainty, the thing that races in your mind all the time, the reason we don't sleep sometimes. Restorative rest doesn't numb that anxiety. It replaces it with peace. Anyone need peace today? Restorative. Thank you for the hand. Restorative rest takes the anxiety and doesn't numb it. It replaces it. Pastor, what's restorative rest? You haven't told us. Hold on. I'm going to tell you in a second. Hold on. And every one of us is probably going to say, man, I don't do that. No wonder. You're to find out. You probably don't. Apostle Paul says it like this in Philippians 4:6. Don't be anxious about anything. Easier said than done. Right? And the peace of God, which transcends all your understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You got to get there. He's telling us, he's teaching us, don't be anxious. Pastor, there's no way I can not be anxious. Sure you can. You need restorative rest. Pastor, tell me what restorative rest is. Hold on, because Paul's talking and trying to explain things. You don't do this. How do I get there? You're going to get there in a couple of seconds, right? When your soul is at rest, panic's quiet. You stop rehearsing problems and you start remembering your provider when you're in a restorative rest situation, right? That's the anxiety part. Restorative rest brings clarity to your chaos. What's chaos? Noise, clutter, confusion, voices in your head screaming about decisions and demands and expectations. It's the reason why parents retreat to the bathroom. Right? When you have little kids, right? Nick hanging out in the bathroom for 3 hours. Nick, where are you? I'm in the bathroom. I need some time, right? I need some restorative rest, is what she says, right? When you're always moving, always producing, your inner world becomes foggy. Pastor, what is restorative rest? Psalms 46:10. Restorative rest, be still. And know that I am God. And then the scripture behind you tells you what happens when you do that. You're exalted above the nations, exalted on all of the earth. Restorative rest. Be still. And when you're still in a restorative rest position, situation, you're going to know he's God, he's your provider. But when you're in this anxious moment, and you got this chaos going all over your life, you're not going to hear that as much. But you hear it when you're still, right? When you slow down. That stillness leads to awareness. Stillness doesn't just calm your body, it resets your life. You can see clearly again if you would just stop. And that's why the parents retreat to the bathroom. Maybe sometimes they don't understand why they're doing it, but there's the reason why they do it. They need some restorative rest to restore them, reset them, get them back to the next minute, next hour, next day, right? Restorative soul rest isn't passive, though. It's deeply spiritual. It brings peace where there's anxiety and clarity where there's chaos. It realigns you with God's heart so you could live from strength instead of just survival. God never created us just to survive. He created us with limits, but never just to be in survival mode, right? You good so far? Right? You got it all covered, right? You with me? Right? It's summertime, right? 88 degrees this week. It's summertime, beach, all those things. We're good. Pastor, I'm with you. I need relational rest. I need restoration rest, right? I'm good, right? What's missing? Is that it? Rhythmic rest is missing. Rhythmic rest is missing. What's that? That's pace and pattern. I call rhythmic rest pace and pattern. Rhythmic rest is the intentional, repeated pattern of rest built into the flow of your life. It's not a one-time break, summertime, but a God-given rhythm of pausing, restoring, and realigning at regular intervals, normally daily, weekly, and seasonal. Not sure about this, right? Let's go back to Genesis, and I'm going to show you how God introduced the concept of rhythmic rest right at the beginning of creation. Genesis 2:2-3, he says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. By the seventh day. Hold on, you're going to see something here, okay? So, on the seventh day, he rested. And when he was resting, he therefore then made the day holy. Now, I grew up saying God taught us how to rest on the seventh day. How many grew up hearing that, right? Yeah, it's true. That's exactly what he did. But what we kind of like don't listen to or forget to go the one step further is what God is doing here is he's talking about some other things. He uses the word by here. Scripture says by. By the time he got to the seventh day, he didn't need to work anymore. What did he do? He stopped. By the time he reached. By the time he got there, he knew his work was over. I don't need to work anymore. That's pretty good. So, I don't need to work anymore. I'm going to take a break. I'll rest. And I'm going to take a break. And I thought, that's pretty good. This break time is good time. I'm going to make it holy time. You notice God didn't stop there, though? It was a time of recharge. Now, church, I know God didn't need to recharge. But God is teaching us a concept here. He's teaching us that there's a rhythm between work and rest. Work, rest, work, rest. The rest gets you prepared, as Jesus did to the disciples when he said, remain in me, preparing them for when he's not going to be around. That rest will prepare you to look a little bit clearly, or have some clarity of what's going to happen in the future. The next day, the next week, the next month, the next year. He's teaching us that there's a rhythm between work and rest. God is a teaching God, right? We were created to live in cycles, not chaos. We were created to live in rhythms. The Bible calls that seasons. We'll get to that in a second. And Jesus himself modeled rhythmic rest. Pace and patterns. Watch. Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while Pastor Brad was still asleep, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Pace and pattern. The pace was daily. The pattern was every day. Jesus is doing this. Pace and pattern, a rhythm built into Jesus' life that he's going to teach us how to do too. There's a rhythm there. That's the rest that we need that a lot of times we don't do. Jesus is doing it right here, right? Jesus had a pattern of withdrawing regularly to rest, pray, and be renewed. He didn't just crash when he was exhausted. He scheduled rhythms of recharging. He built them into his life, which is what we need to do. Why does rhythmic rest matter? Without a rhythm, rest becomes reactionary. We only stop when we collapse. Or rest becomes refillable. We fill up right before we run dry. How many go to the gas station right before the needle hits the E? Right before it gets down there. Other people like to get there about half the tank. I don't understand those people, right? But that's okay. I don't need to. I wait till it gets down to the E, and sometimes I do something that Nicole doesn't like. The yellow light comes on in the dash. Right? So we're driving down the street. You know, dear, this is true. We're driving down the street, and she's my helper in the car, right? So we're driving down the street. The yellow dash comes on, and she says, honey, you need gas. Right? I'm glad, because a couple of those times, if she wouldn't have said that, I would have ran out of gas because I wasn't paying attention. Some of us run our spiritual lives to the point where we don't get a recharge until the E is just, the needle is like right there. We're like refillable people, right? We're waiting just for the refill. And sometimes the refill only happens to about a quarter of a tank. They deny my credit card. I don't have enough cash with me, right? Or whatever. So we get the needle up just a little bit just to get us to the next stop or the next situation or the next location, whatever it is. Some of us don't fill all the way up. We don't recharge. We don't refill, right? Rest was never designed to be an end, though. It was always a rhythm to recharge us. And Jesus invited his disciples in Mark 6:31. He says, come away. Let's get some rest. Remember the scripture back in Matthew 11:28, come to me, that's the make the effort. When Jesus said, come to me, you got to make an effort. What's the effort? Rest. All you who are weary and burdened, you can still run at 100 miles an hour. You can just keep going. You don't have to abide in him. You don't do it. You can just keep going. But he said, no, come over here. I want to give you some rest. And it says right in the scripture, I will give you. If you come, I'll give it to you. That's restorative rest. That's relational rest. That's rhythmic rest, right? So, church, let's wrap up with some examples before we leave today, right? Let's talk about pace and pattern examples. Let's talk about rhythm examples. First one, a daily rhythm. Now, there's many here, church. I'm just going to throw some at you, right? Study or devotion time, right? Stillness time, prayer time. They're all daily rhythms in your life. If you don't have a daily rhythm, a pace or a pattern, you will get tired fast. Why? There's no spiritual recharge going on. We're really good, church, at doing the physical recharge. Sometimes we're really poor at doing the spiritual recharge. So we don't build a rhythm of recharge in our life. We build no pace or pattern, no ongoing, regular, what, study time, devotion time, prayer time, stillness time. I am a huge proponent of stillness time. Of course, I'm a proponent of study time. I'm a pastor. Of course, I'm a proponent of prayer time. I'm a pastor. But the stillness time is where I get my clarity and the cobwebs kind of go away. Why? Because that's the restoration reset that I need. And sometimes I'll just sit there and let God speak to me every day, day in and day out. Why? I have developed a pace at it every day, and my pattern is 20 minutes. Disconnect, get my thoughts, pace and pattern, right? Psalm 5:3 said, in the morning, I lay my request before you, and then I wait expectantly. Pace and pattern, there's a rhythm there, right? You see it? Every morning. What's the pace? Morning. What's the pattern? Every morning. What's the expectation if I do the rhythm, the pace, the pattern? I'm going to wait for you, expecting something from heaven. And if I'm expecting something and everything's built on my faith, what's going to happen? God's going to deliver. God's going to deliver because I'm building something healthy into my life. Weekly rhythms is the second one. Weekly rhythms. You are sitting or watching a weekly rhythm right now of rest. Sabbath day, which we celebrate now on Sunday, not Saturday, right? Sunday, worship time. Sunday, the word time, the message time. What is this? This is what I call a recharge day. It's a resetting day. It's a recalibration day, right? Sunday, worship in the word. You come in to be recalibrated, to be reset, to be recharged for what? The next week. And now you've got a big summer recharge assignment. Mark 2:27 says, "Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man made for the Sabbath.'" Sunday is a gift, church. Why does the enemy attack so many people so they say, you don't have to go to church anymore? Why is it the lowest attendance in church today? It's today. It's 2025. Why? Because the enemy knows exactly what to interrupt. He knows exactly how to interrupt your rhythm of recharge. And if you're not getting recharged, you're going to be exhausted. So he's pushing people away from turning on or watching online or coming into the house. He doesn't want you in a rhythm of pace and pattern. Why? It's dangerous to him. It's dangerous. Why? It makes you strong. Do you walk out of here feeling recharged and ready, or do you walk out of here saying, that was awful? God speaks to us on a Sunday morning. Mark 2:27, "Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man made for the Sabbath.'" It's a gift. You don't come in here to get a rule. I'm not giving you this rule book. I'm giving you a recharging station, a plug-in. To walk out of here and say, man, that wasn't about a rule, but there's a rhythm going on in my life that God's got me rested up, ready to go. There's seasonal rhythms. I just picked three. Seasonal rhythms. I call these retreats and recalibrations. Pastors are told to go on retreats throughout the year. We're told to go to conferences and things to recalibrate and get a retreat going on, right? Those are seasonal rhythms. They want us to do it. The board wants us to go away. Assemblies of God in Columbus tell us all the time, you need to go away. You need to get recharged. You can't be giving out all the time and not getting in. You got to recharge. And every pastor has what they do personally to recharge. I just gave you a little bit of mine, but you know, we have what do you do? What's your seasonal recharge? Where's your recalibration? It's a seasonal thing. Maybe you do it once a quarter, maybe you do it once a year. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, "There is a time for everything and the season for every activity under the heavens." What? A season? A pace and a pattern? A rhythm? Yep. Do we live by seasons? Yep. Pace, pattern? Yep. Rhythm? There it is. Yes, we do. Church life was never meant to be lived at one constant pace. So God created seasons to slow you down, realign, and prepare you for what's next. God knows exactly what you need. When I was praying over this message and this series, I said, God, what do you want me to do? And he laid this on my heart. And I went to Pastor Mike and I said, Pastor Mike, listen, Pastor Nicole is going to preach on Mother's Day and I'd like you to preach a couple weeks, and then I'm going to go into a new series when I get back on June 1st. Now I was here, you know, first 2 weeks. I took last week off to rest. And Pastor Mike and I were talking the other day, and I told him, you know, I'm starting this series called Summer Recharge. He says, you got to be kidding me. So why? He says, I was going to do a series, my next series, I was going to do Refresh. I said, too late. God spoke to me first. Right? Sir, right? Right? God spoke to me first. Or maybe you just didn't tell me in time. Whatever. God's got us aligned up here at the leadership of the church. Church, if you ignore God's rhythm of rest, your soul will go bankrupt even while your calendar stays full. But when you learn to live in a rhythm of recharging, your strength doesn't just return, it multiplies. Let me give you the testimony as we wrap up this morning. The church on our Wednesday night journey night, you know, we kind of take a break every summer. We allow our workers to get some rest. We do what we call summer journey, which is what we're in now. The youth still gets together. They do their own thing. They're kids. They do whatever they want anyways, right? LG and her team, they're just killing it, right? Journey kids, killing it. Kids show up. CR still meets on Wednesday nights, killing it. Lots of people, right? We added one adult Bible class this year, this season. And our instructors said they would teach that. All of our instructors took a couple Wednesdays throughout the summer. Why? I was thinking, you know, weeks ago, I was saying, I think people are in the building. They need a place to go. So now the class has 10 to 15 people in it on a Wednesday night because they have kids in the program still. And, you know, so we gave them the opportunity to still seek some rest in God's house. But we give everybody else their night off for the rest of the summer. Right? And every single fall that we have done this for years now, since I've been pastoring, every year we have done this, the leadership will attest to this, on the relaunch in the fall, we come back multiplied, much bigger than we had when we concluded or we had the previous year. If you are a journey night worker during the season, is that not the case? It's packed. Rested. Recharged. Ready to go for the next season, the next opportunity. It's a rhythm, it's a pace, it's a pattern. I know the rhythms and the paces and the patterns. God gave me those years ago, and we do those here to give some recharge. Right? And I'm going to encourage Cross Point Church as we close today in prayer that you will commit yourself. It's summertime. That not only that you will take care of yourself physically, and get a recharge. Take a break. That you also will get some spiritual rest. Stay connected to heaven. Abide in Jesus. You don't need to take a break from relational. That is the relational rest. Be a restorative rest. Be still. And know that I'm your God and I'm your provider. And your rhythm rest. Your pace. Pattern that God has put into your life. Don't neglect that, church. You have a pace and a pattern, a daily, a weekly, a monthly, a seasonally, whatever that may be. Don't neglect that. That is what sustains you throughout your lifetime. I challenge you to stay there, church. As we go through the summer series, summer recharge, in the next 3 weeks, let God, let heaven recharge this church. Let the outpouring of heaven be received by each and every one of you. You with me, church? Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, I pray that you give us physical rest. Lord God, thank you for summertime. Thank you, Lord God, that you're going to give us wonderful weather this week. Lord God, I pray that each and every one of us gets a recharge. Not only throughout the week, throughout the summer, but Lord God, I pray for a physical recharge. But Lord God, I want a spiritual recharge, Lord God. I want that relationship to be built and be stronger than ever. Lord God, let me be still and realize and continue to know that you are my God and you are my provider. Lord God, thank you for building a pace and a pattern in my life. Lord God, that's the one we neglect. Lord God, I pray that you have revealed that to us today. I pray, Lord God, that people sitting in the house and watching online, they received it, Lord God. You told me to write it and preach it, and I have done that. We have started, Lord God, let the people receive it. Lord God, if they don't have a daily rhythm, let them put one in. Lord God, convict us if we don't have a seasonal rhythm or a weekly or monthly rhythm. Lord God, let us put that in. Lord God, let us be joyful to do that. Let's watch, Lord, Father, as you come in. transform each and every one of us and give us the recharge that we need. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, stand with me today. God blessed us with rest. He blessed us with a recharge. I say we go out of the house today and we sing about it. God bless you.
For the cross that you bore.